Good morning. Welcome. This is Ephesus Baptist Church. This is God's house, and He's provided it for us to come and to worship and praise Him. And I ask you, are you glad you're part of the family of God?
Amen.
Amen. Last Sunday, the subject of the sermon was what? Right, and what did we say was one of the tools, or what tool did we talk about that God gave us to fight the battle? What are you laughing about, Amy? The Bible, yay! I'm not going to do this anymore. Yes, we talked about God's Word being the tool that, or a tool that He provides to us to battle Satan. And we talked about learning to use this weapon to such a point that it became second nature. And today we're going to talk about another tool that God provides us to communicate with Him and to combat Satan and to deal with the sin in our life. And our text this morning comes from James, the 5th chapter, verses 13 through 18. So probably and should be familiar to many of you, James 5, 13 through 18. Please follow along in your Bible as I read. Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. May God add His blessing to the reading and hearing and to the studying of His Word. As we all know, James was the brother of Jesus, and his Gospel is one of seven books in the New Testament called general letters. They are so called because they were letters written to Christians at that time in general and not to a specific church as Paul did, Ephesus, Corinthians, Romans, etc. And James ends this short letter talking about the importance of prayer. Now, many of you are familiar with the Barna Research Group, the Pew Group. They conduct surveys. These groups, along with USA Today and Newsweek, have told us that surveys reveal that the overwhelming majority of Americans believe in prayer, and the overwhelming majority of Americans believe God answers prayer. However, I believe, as many Christian leaders and pastors, that too many of us pray like my grandchildren. I'll ask one of them to give thanks for the food, and before we can bow our heads and calm down, it's God is great, God is good, let us thank Him for His food, amen. You know, they are too young to take their prayer life very seriously. But James was very serious when he wrote concerning the importance of prayer. And this letter that he wrote contains several truths regarding prayer, and I want us to discuss three of them today. And the first truth contained in James's letter is any time is a good time for prayer. Any time is a good time for prayer. Consider what James says in verses 13 through 14. Are you in trouble? Pray. Are you living a happy life? Sing praises to the Lord. You know, sometimes we think, and I've talked about this from the pulpit before, that the only time we need to pray is when we are in major trouble or we need some major help. Or when we want to use God as an ATM machine. Give me this, give me that. I need this, give me that. But it's always a good time to pray, and we can pray about anything and everything. Paul says in his book to the church at Ephesus, chapter 6, verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Therefore, if it is always a good time to pray, I want us to do that now. If you're in a predicament, if you're having trouble, if you're grieving, if you're dealing with a bad experience or with sickness, then you need to take that to God now. If everything is going well and you've had a blessed day, then you need to offer praise to God now. And I want us to do this silently, so let's bow our heads for a few seconds and pray and praise God now. Amen. We just did what God wants us to do. He desires us to talk to Him. It is important to understand that prayer is supposed to be a consistent part of our everyday lives. God wishes that we do that. And it is mentioned many times in His Bible that He wants us to communicate with Him. He wants us to talk to Him. He wants us to share our problems and concerns with Him. He wants us to share our praise for things that He has done. Now, James' second truth regarding prayer is it is okay to ask others to pray for you. It's okay to ask to pray for you. We all know, even in our family with Connie, that we become sick sometime. Connie was sick to the point that she was in the hospital for 10 days, and her main concern was getting well and not transferring whatever she had, which we didn't know at the time, to me, not contaminating me or anyone that came to visit. And we've all had that experience. And during such a time, our main concern is getting well. Therefore, we should never, never be ashamed to ask others to pray for us. In verse 14 of our text, the sick person is instructed to contact the elders of the church to pray for him or her. Now, most of you, in fact, all of you have been here before. We didn't have any newcomers, new visitors today. So you know that at Ephesus Baptist Church, we take prayer seriously. There are many, many prayer warriors here who love praying for others. We don't mind if you call Miss Barbara and ask her to put you on the prayer list. I don't mind if you call me. I don't mind if you put on the Vista card, as some people do, to pray for them, either in general or for a specific problem. We invite you to do that. We want to take and lift you up to God. Most of us pray seriously, and you should take prayer seriously in your own personal life because of the reason mentioned in verses 14 and 15. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. God not only hears our prayers, hallelujah, he answers our prayers. Not always the way we want, but God hears and answers our prayers. And it's with such knowledge that we are able to confidently approach God in prayer. And even though we don't see him physically, we know he is in our presence, and he listens when we pray in faith. And he will answer according to what is best for us. Notice James doesn't say that every time we pray for someone to be healed, or every time that person, him or herself, prays to be healed, that the healing will be done. But one who prays in faith understands that. If you are a believer and you have faith in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you realize that every time you pray, you are having faith that God will do what is best for you. Not that God will do what we want him to do, but that he will do what is best. So when we pray in faith, we understand that God does what's best in the situation at that time. And being omnipotent and omniscient, he is ever present and ever knowledgeable of everything that's going on, and he knows what is in our best interest. And the important part with important truth that James wishes us to learn here is just to pray. Pray for healing. Pray for God's will to be done. And continue to do that. Just because we don't get the answer we want the next day, the next week, the next month, we need to continue to talk to God. Do not fail to pray. The emphasis is not on the elders praying. It's not on the anointing oil. The emphasis is on prayer. The emphasis is on communicating with God. The point in the latter part of verse 15 is that the sick person who initiated contact with the elders was willing to do whatever it took to get his or her issue, his or her problem before the Lord and place it in the Lord's hands. So yes, any time's a good time to pray. And yes, when you're not physically able to pray, call on others to pray for you. Yet there are times when we are not able to pray, not because of health reasons, but because of spiritual reasons. In other words, there may be sin issues in our lives which are hindering our prayers. And James's third truth about prayer is, we should pray for each other to be forgiven of sin and to be healed from the debilitating effect of sin. Have you ever talked to a person about someone else? Of course you have. We have all done that. Have you realized later, whether it was 1 hour or 1 week or 1 month, that you were in fact gossiping? I'm guilty. You know, you think you're just discussing a situation, and then you realize you were gossiping. And when that occurs, we are not only supposed to ask God's forgiveness, But we are to ask the forgiveness of the person to whom we gossip and the person about whom we gossip. God's word is very clear about such conduct. Verse 16 of our text states, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And healed again is in the spiritual sense in this instance. Whenever you see the word therefore in Scripture, you should refer back to what the author just said. So before this verse, James teaches that when a person prays in faith, God answers what's in accordance with what's best for us and forgives. And now in this verse, he's teaching we need to confess our sins one to another to be healed. Not that we need to confess to a priest, not that I need to confess John Wayne my sins. We confess our sins to God, but if we have sinned against another, we need to confess that action to that person in order to be healed from the guilt that we experience or should experience when we wrong someone. Maybe the reason we are not being healed by prayer physically is unconfessed sin in our life towards another. We might have asked God to forgive us, but we have not asked the person we have wronged to forgive us. And that's difficult. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that's easy. But we need to do that. We need to go to them and say, you may not know this, but I told some things about you that I have no idea were true. I didn't mean to be gossiping, but I did, and I just ask you to forgive me. And the same thing about the person to whom you told it. You know, I told you something about so-and-so, and I shouldn't have, because I have no idea whether the matter is true or not. Remember, as young kids, we would use the middleman. We would use somebody to go to our friends and say, do you like me or do you don't like me? Do you forgive me, you know, for doing this? Do you forgive me for doing that? But we should not do the same today. If we have wronged someone or someone has wronged us, we should talk to such person, confess our faults to each other, and then we should spend time praying for each other so that we may be healed of our sin and of our guilt. Our healing might be a prayer away. God's answer might be a prayer away. But failure to confess to God and to the person wronged by our sin may be preventing us from healing. To be an effective and powerful person of prayer, we don't need to be a spiritual giant. We don't need to study systematic theology. We don't need to take a course on the Old and New Testament to be an effective prayer warrior. What we need is right living before God. To be righteous, to accept God's authority over our lives and be obedient to His commands. And to, of course, have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. That's why God offered Him up on the cross to die, so that we could be righteous enough, that we would be justified. In other words, it would be just as if we had not sinned, so that we could stand in His presence for eternity. Because without that gift of salvation, we were not worthy to stand in God's presence because of our sin. James states the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. He uses the prophet Elijah as an example. James notes that Elijah was a man like us, yet his prayers were so effective that it affected the weather for 3.5 years. He prayed that it would not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed that the rain would come, and the rain did come. And it's my prayer that we all learn from the text the potential for our prayer life. You young people here today, imagine what God wants to accomplish through you and your life of serious prayer. Sunday school teacher, just imagine and dream what God wants to do for your class as a result of your serious prayer for them. Husband or wife, imagine what God can do in and through your family when you pray seriously for your spouse and children. God is looking for people serious about prayer. And there are two types of people here this morning: those who need prayer and those who need to be serious people of prayer. And those of you who haven't accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you need to think about that this morning. You need to pray where you're sitting and ask God to accept you as a child of His, to tell Him that you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you accept the gift of salvation. And we would be glad for you to have that decision made public as you come forward to the altar, and I'll be glad to pray with you. And if you want to become a member of this body of believers, we'll be glad to talk to you about that. And then there are those of you who need prayer. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to have that ministry done to you this week. I'm going to put here on the altar table a basket with some pens and slips of paper in it. And if you'd like to come after the benediction and write down a prayer request, I'll be glad to pray for each and every request this coming week. It can be a specific request. It can be general, just whatever you want me to pray for your life. I shall do that in the coming week. You can do that, as I said, after we have our benediction. At this time, I invite us to stand as we sing a hymn of invitation, number 4.